If you're an investor, you're pretty scared right now about all this stock talk. But for a large percentage of the population, it's pretty much meh. It's the business news headlines for Thursday, the 19th day of May. Thanks for being with us as we regroup from our mobile studio in Florida. In other news, nearly 2 million Americans did this during the first 3 months of the year. Don't worry, we'll share with you exactly what they did. Some restaurant chains are having a tough time with their public image. We'll share who they are. McDonald's of Russia has found a buyer. Imagine that. The Amazon of cars, Carvana, is in trouble. We've got the Wall Street Report. And who, by the way, who really wants a four-day work week? Let's go.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Tarot International for corporate and personal training to achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers at NTPDA.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to this, the Thursday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, grateful that you are along for the ride again today. You want to reach us on Twitter, you can do that. You can find us day and night at IOB_NewsHour. Data from Gallup indicate that if you make a bunch of money, like at least $100,000 a year or more, about 89% of you own stock. Now, if you make between $40,000 and $99,000 a year, that falls to 61%. And if you have an annual salary of less than $40,000 a year, only 25% of you own stock. Now, it's sort of a loaded question as far as who owns stock, because many Americans might own stock, but it's in their 401k or other investment vehicle. They're not actively trading on a regular basis. Now, while we report daily on the markets, the reality is that few of you are actually engaged in buying and selling stocks and have come to learn there are highs and there are lows in the market. And if you ride it, it'll bounce back. In a word, relax. If you cut your cable this past year, you were not alone. The Motley Fool is reporting that nearly 2 million of you did just that. The United States' biggest cable television service providers collectively lost at least 1 million subscribers during the first quarter. And assuming DirecTV didn't reverse its long streak of customer attrition, and by the way, the company no longer discloses its subscriber metrics, the actual number of subscriber losses for the industry is even greater. Counting DirecTV's likely attrition, as well as all the smaller regional cable television service providers, Lightman Research Group estimates that just under 2 million households in the U.S. cut the cord last quarter. Compared to Lightman's estimate that 4.7 million U.S. consumers canceled their cable TV service last year for the entire year, the trend is not only still going strong, but it's accelerating. The U.S. Census Bureau reported there are 122 million total households within the U.S. Only half of them still subscribe to cable. That's down from a little over 80% of citizens and households less than 10 years ago. Standard & Poor's research arm, Kagan, believes the U.S. cable industry's total annual revenue will shrink from last year's $91.9 billion to only $64.7 billion in 2025, closely mirroring digital TV research's expected $23 billion contraction for the industry between 2019 and 2025. So where's all this money going? The money consumers are saving by cutting the cord is going to streaming services like Netflix and Disney Plus, as well as less mainstream streaming services like Discovery Plus and documentary-focused Curiosity Stream. The world's most prolific streaming services collectively added 26.5 million subscribers last quarter alone. Consumers are a fickle bunch, and it doesn't take much to get a bad reputation. Eat This, Not That is reporting that reputation, as Warren Buffett once said, takes 20 years to build, and 5 minutes to lose. And few businesses know this better than fast food chains. In 2019, leading brands like McDonald's, Burger King, and Taco Bell spent an incredible $5 billion on promotion and advertising. Sometimes it works. Other times, not so much. Here's a list of some restaurants that have taken it in the shorts lately. Starbucks has been getting flack recently for increasing prices on popular menu items. The price hikes have been seen as evidence of corporate greed following Starbucks' announcement of profit growth of 31% in the most recent quarter. In addition, their bite back on unionization has taken a toll. Now, Chick-fil-A remains in good company, but it still has a problem with regard to its LGBTQ stance almost a decade after it was made so public. The issue came up again with Chick-fil-A's founder being tied to the National Christian Charitable Foundation, a group that has worked to undermine the Equality Act. Chipotle. Now, although Chipotle is successful in terms of sales, the company reported $2 billion in revenue in its most recent quarter. Its reputation has been marred in the past decade by reoccurring food safety problems. Then there's Jack in the Box. With perhaps one of the worst reputations for food safety, Jack in the Box was at the center of a massive E. coli outbreak way back in 1993. Contaminated patties at Jack in the Box restaurants in Washington, Idaho, Nevada, and California caused the deaths of 4 customers and the hospitalization of 171. Somehow, Jack in the Box still has a name in the restaurant industry, reporting its highest profits in 27 years just this past February. Burger King. It's a perpetual runner-up. Burger King was ranked America's least favorite fast food chain in 2020, following a study on consumer sentiments from Twitter. It's a brand that has sort of lost its way and is losing its sales and has developed something of a reputation of what some consumers are saying is an also-ran. Then there's Subway. Now, by the numbers, Subway is doing just fine. The chain is the 8th largest in the U.S. by sales and has reported its best sales in 8 years just this past August following a menu revamp. Experts say the sandwich chain has been drifting for a few years now following the death of its founder, Fred DeLuca, back in 2015. Lack of original leadership has translated into declining standards, with Subway losing 5 percentage points in its score last year on the American Consumer Satisfaction Index. There's several restaurants for you. We suspect you may have others. Staying in the restaurant world for just a moment, and specifically in fast food, just a few days after McDonald's said it was going to sell off its Russian restaurants, the company is announcing a buyer. Imagine that. UPI is reporting that it's found a buyer for hundreds of locations in the Eastern European country. The new buyer is franchisee Alexander Govnor, who already operates more than 24 McDonald's locations in Siberia. Think about that. They have McDonald's in Siberia? I thought that's where the gulags were. Oh, now, anyway, Alexander is going to be taking over ownership of the rest of McDonald's properties in the country. McDonald's has almost 900 locations and more than 60,000 employees across Russia. The chain said it had signed an agreement with him this past Thursday, which is subject to regulatory approval. The company said it expects the deal to close in the next few weeks. It was being touted as the Amazon of cars. Today, Carvana seems to be in deep trouble. Robert Lehan writes that when Ernie Garcia spoke with analysts during Carvana's earnings call last month, the company's chief executive officer said the used car retailer's first quarter had been, quote, challenging, end quote. The company had just posted a confidence-shattering quarter, in the words of J.P. Morgan, as it reported a wider-than-expected loss of, get this, $2.89 a share, much higher than the FactSet expected loss of $1.44 a share. Garcia cited factors such as COVID-19's Omicron variant, used vehicle prices, and interest rate rises as contributing factors to the company's disappointing quarter. Since January, Carvana shares have fallen a whopping 83.4%. Carvana, which went public in 2017 and has been described as the Amazon of car dealers, has been taking aggressive measures to turn things around, including laying off 2,500 employees, or about 12% of its workforce. The company's executive team, however, said they will forego their salary for the remainder of the year to contribute to the severance pay for departing employees. So at least there is that. But according to our friends at iccars.com, the high cost of buying a car will continue for the time being and foreseeable future. And so, too, might the issues at Carvana. Well, don't look, but it was another down day on Wall Street as the Dow slid by 236 points to settle at 31,253, while the NASDAQ gave up 29 points to end the session at 11,388, and the S&P 500 fell by 22 points to end at 3,900. Earnings reports over the past couple of days from some of the largest retailers have investors spooked, even as the Commerce Department reported better than expected sales in April. And finally, there is this. Over half, like 54% of U.S. workers, choose a four-day work week as one of the top three benefits they'd like offered by their employer. All of this, according to LinkedIn's latest workforce confidence survey. The only option that ranked higher than a four-day work week was greater flexibility by 63%. And it's middle management that's driving the trend, with 59% of managers and 58% of directors listing the benefit as a priority. 55% of entry-level employees and only 43% of professionals with a title of vice president or above feel the same. Well, they're just work-driven, right? Most executives recognize a four-day work week as the best strategy to woo top talent. But just 6% say that they've implemented it or even considering it. That, according to a recent survey by the firm Gartner. Well, that's a wrap for the business news headlines for today. Thanks so very much for joining us, for all of us that put this together each and every day. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing. Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great evening. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.